Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, America. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. Thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Okay, I don't know what's happening. We're going to have technical difficulties today, hopefully not. But welcome to the show. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, this is Lori Pica from Michigan. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me?
Oh, yes, okay. Loud and clear, yes.
Oh, okay. All right, that's good.
Okay. Owasso police released body camera video footage, surveillance footage, and a 911 call in Next Benedict case. And this teenager was murdered, beaten to death. And he or she is a transgender student. And here's the report, and we're back to talk about it.
Owasso police releasing multiple videos late today showing some of what happened the day before 16-year-old Next Benedict's death. Good evening, I'm Evan Onstar.
I'm Jessica Schambach. The non-binary student died one day after a fight at school. KOCO Zach Rell has been digging through this new video for us tonight. Zach, what are you learning?
Yeah, yes, Evan, that's right. This first video is a 20-minute-long body camera video from the school resource officer talking with Next and their mom after Next was taken to the hospital. We will also see security camera video from inside the school and another video which includes the 911 phone calls that Next's mom made the day they died. Next Benedict was non-binary, meaning that they didn't identify exclusively as male or female, and we are using they-them pronouns for Next, but in parts of the video that we'll release today, you will see the use of she-her pronouns. We also want to warn you that parts of this video may be disturbing.
Hey, Bridget.
Hey, how are you?
So what happened today?
This is some of the last videos showing 16-year-old Next Benedict alive. A school resource officer goes to the hospital to interview Next and their mom, Sue Benedict.
She told me, she said, Mom, she said, these three girls there are just, they won't leave me alone. They're making comments or, they're calling us names. They're throwing stuff at us.
Next says they didn't know the other girls who are a grade younger than them. The students meeting while in school suspension.
So they just up and decided to start messing with you.
Because of the way that we dressed.
Okay, so you didn't do anything at all at any point in time that would have. Even a couple of days ago or even a month ago or anything like that.
I don't know these girls.
Next goes on to explain what happened leading up to the altercation in the bathroom.
After we sat church, we went to the bathroom.
Okay.
And I was talking with my friends. They were talking with their friends. And we were laughing. And they had said something like, why do they laugh like that? And they were talking about us in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I went up there and I poured water on them.
Okay.
And then all three of them came at me.
In security camera video from the cafeteria, you can see the group of girls stacking chairs like Next said. One group then goes into the bathroom, as seen in the upper right-hand corner of the video. Next and their friends are seen gathering around the water fountain before entering the bathroom.
They came at me. They grabbed on my hair. I grabbed on them. I threw one of them into a paper towel dispenser, and then they got my legs out from under me and got me on the ground.
Okay.
And then my friend tried to jump in and help, but I'm not sure I'd like that.
Just 20 seconds later, a school employee is seen entering the bathroom and eventually everyone exits. In this video, you can see an SRO escorting Next from the school nurse's office to the principal's office. Next is then seen leaving the school with their mom, who took Next to the hospital.
The fact that she threw that water, kind of puts her
not
it's still something about it. It's false. The water.
After a conversation with the officer, Nex's mom declined to press assault charges. Shortly after, the officer said goodbye to Nex and their mom.
Hope I see you around school and class and wandering the halls and all that good stuff.
Yes,
you can smile and wave and say, hey, Boston, and all that good stuff.
But less than 24 hours later.
And I need to get someone, an ambulance here quick, please.
Okay,
my daughter, I don't know what's going around wrong. She's posturing and her hands.
Nex's mom calls 911 from their home after they become unconscious.
She's breathing in, but then she... Her eyes are, they open, but she's doing like a, you know, like a really quick, and her hands are posturing already. They're rolling in, like I don't know if it's from her head injury, because the girls that beat her up knocked her to the ground, and she hit her head on the bathroom floor, and when I got there, the school was like, I think you might need to take her to the hospital, and I'm like, okay. And she kept saying she had a headache.
Paramedics arrive at the house and transport Nex to a Tulsa hospital where they're pronounced dead. Still, obviously, a lot of unanswered questions here. Nex's mom did mention that Nex takes medication for anxiety and mood swings, but did not take any the day that Nex died, only the night before. And we are still waiting on the toxicology report from the medical examiner.
Okay, so there you have it there in Oklahoma. Owasso police released body cam footage, video surveillance footage, and 911 call in the Nex Benedict case. So, you know, some girls at her school beat living crap out of her, and, you know, because of that, injuries to the head, she died the next day. So what's your feeling about this, you know? When is this going to end against LGBTQ people?
First of all, I don't think that report, from what I read, I'm sorry, I was very disappointed in that report, because I've read a few articles on this, and first of all, when she went into the bathroom, they made fun of her, et cetera, and then they did start to beat her up, and they took her head and hit it on the floor three or four different times, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing is that the mother doesn't sound too bright. I'm sorry, but from what I've read, the poor young girl probably did get up, and she probably went into the principal's office. Now, you have to remember, in Oklahoma, they are definitely do not like non-binary, LGBTQ, you know, any of that. They're all against it. So they didn't have any respect for this mother or the young girl to begin with. And so that led me to believe that no one cared, to be honest. So I'm glad that the mother did bring her to the hospital. They released her right away. But also they said that in the police report said that she did have trauma to her head, but they said that is not why she died. From being beat up in the bathroom, which I am sorry, but what else could she have died from? Obviously, she didn't have an X-ray or anything like that done. They just let her go home, and she probably had bleeding of the brain, and of course, she probably died the next day. Supposedly, they're going to continue the investigation, but they basically, four girls that beat her up in the bathroom, were not the reason she died. That's exactly what they said. So I find the whole thing to be disgusting, immoral, and it makes me sick to my stomach. Also, there is a senator, and he went on to say, and his name is Senator Tom Woods. Of course, he's a Republican, and he was speaking out about the non-binary murder, Benedict, and this went on to say, we are a religious state. We are going to fight to keep that LGBTQ filth out of the state of Oklahoma, because we're a Christian state. That's what that SOB said after she died. They make me want to vomit. What kind of Christian would say something like that? what kind of human being would say something about this child? She was 16 years old, and she was cute as can be. This is just so immoral and hateful and disgusting. One more thing in this country to just make you want to leave it. That's the way I feel today.
Yeah.
That is the way I
feel. You have to keep in mind that Oklahoma, Nebraska, Kansas, that side of America is, Missouri, very religious, or that's what they claim.
No,
you know, and, you know, Jesus, and if Jesus was here now, what would Jesus do? Would he kick the living crap out of a non-binary person? Would he, you know, go against LGBTQ people and smite them? You know, so who are they, that is the senator from Oklahoma, you know, saying that, you know, this person or, you know, LGBTQ people, they're going to fight to keep them out of Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you, Senator, whoever you are, you know, I wish nothing but bad things on you. You know, imagine a young 16-year-old dead because of this hate. And
yeah,
you're saying, you know, you're talking about against LGBTQ people. That's wrong. How dare you?
You know, the thing is, David, it's not even that yes, it's wrong, but the type of hate you have to have in your heart to say something like that as a state senator tells you about who you are as a human being. You should not be a human being. I'm sorry. That is not human. And actually, animals are probably better than him. They treat their own dogs and cats, their little children, you know, little baby cats and dogs and whatever. And, you know, they treat them better than what this man probably treats his family. It is disgusting.
Yeah.
So today, dozens of students at the Owosso High School in Oklahoma walked out in the wake of the death of Next Benedict, a 16-year-old who died on February 8th, one day after being beaten in the school restroom. The students said that they were protesting a culture of bullying and a lack of response by school officials. So that's why they walked out,
how do I refer to Next Benedict? Is it he or she or they?
I have to admit, I wasn't sure myself, okay? So I went online and I looked, and non-binary means you really don't feel like you're a girl and you don't feel like you're a boy. I don't know what else to say about it. I don't know anything about it. All I know is that she was a human being. That's the only thing that I know. And if she's a confused human being, let her be a confused human being. As long as she's not hurting anyone else, stay the hell away from somebody like that. Just stay away from them. Leave them alone. They'll grow into whatever they need to be.
God, sorry that this happened, and, you know, I wish her family, you know, I don't even know what to say, because this is so hateful and dreadful that in this country, because somebody is, you know, believing a different gender and believe just being who they are, that you'd be so hateful as to beat them up and kick the crap out of them in the bathroom.
Yeah. You know, David, I look at it as, let's say, a young man or a young woman has feelings that maybe they tend to be more, have more like male feelings, you know, like, you know, you follow what I'm trying to say, like they tend to not feel girlish and they have different feelings, or a girl feels like she's more tomboyish in certain ways. Let them grow up to understand their bodies and understand themselves. Leave them alone. It could be hormones that are messed up inside of them. We don't know. Just beat somebody up and then die of a brain injury. I'm sorry, that's what she died of. They just don't want to say it. But when you get your head smashed against a floor 3-4 times, excuse me, what do you think? I just that really got me when I read all about that. I just, and then that senator, oh, by the way, let's call this senator. Let's just go on a rampage here. Let's call this, his name is State Senator Tom Woods, Republican. He said to call him, so let's call him tomorrow, 405-521-5576, and tell him what a hateful Christian he is, what a hateful animal he is. No, I can't say he's an animal. I can't say he's an animal. Animals are better. Animals are better.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
know
what he is.
Yeah.
I don't know. What to label him? What do I label him? I'm sorry. I'm done. But
a poor excuse for a human being. Yes. All right. We're starting to take some calls on everything. 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from. Sorry for the low tone of voice. I'm struggling to talk because, you know, this is like the remnants of a flu I'm trying to get rid of. So when you call in, speak up, and, you know, let's talk about what's happening in politics and whatever is happening in America and the world. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show. What's cooking?
I'm sorry I interjected too soon. He's not an animal. Animals, if there is something in the pack that they reject, they walk away. They don't kill them.
Yes.
Animals don't act that way.
I did correct myself. I get so upset. It's like I don't even, you know, it's just beyond my understanding.
I got in on the tail end of the conversation. Would you please put that phone number on Kitchen Politics 123? You don't have to explain why it's there. Just put his name in the phone number.
Okay, I will.
Because there's a lot of people listening. I've got a pet peeve.
Go ahead.
Mr. Stanley Grott in Macomb County, who controls the elections, who was caught, allegedly caught, I got to use the word allegedly, caught signing false documents in 2020 for the Orange Monster.
Mm-hmm.
He is still in charge of elections in Macomb County. Let's call Miss Nessa up and tell her that he should have a block. He should not be allowed to control the elections.
Is he still
Until he's cleared. Until he's cleared.
Oh, I didn't know that.
He was one of the 20.
Yeah, I know that, but I didn't know he was
He's the clerk in Shelby Township.
Oh, wow.
In Shelby. So let's call Ms. Nessa up and tell her that he should be temporarily put on a whatever they call it, like they do the police, until he's cleared. And I very much doubt he's going to be cleared.
Mm-hmm.
I've had enough of their shenanigans.
Wow.
I'm trying to control my swear words. I've had enough of their shenanigans.
Yeah, I know.
But he should not. He shouldn't even look at one ballot. He shouldn't even be able to be in the room where ballots are. He signed the document. He was ready to falsify the election returns.
Wow. He's still on the Board of Trustees.
He's voted in.
Yeah.
He's a Shelby Township, a trustee to the election department.
Wow.
City clerk or township clerk or whatever title he's got.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And his claim to fame is he won the lottery when it first came out, and he won $1 million. That's his claim to fame. He bought his way into the Republican Party, and he thinks he's a big shot.
Mm-hmm. A lot of them do.
So if anybody listening that's in Michigan, please call Ms. Nessa up and ask her very kindly to ask Stanley Grott or to somehow legally get him on a hiatus, whatever it's called, like they do the police officers when they're being investigated. And until he's investigated, he shouldn't be anywhere near ballots.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's my gripe. I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So now
that's
President
cool.
Biden has said Israel and Hamas ceasefire is close and
mm-hmm.
could start next Monday. And
yeah.
that's a good thing to hear because it's been going on since October 7th last year where
mm-hmm.
Hamas attacked, brutally attacked a music festival that was going on in Israel. And Israel,
mm-hmm.
Within days, you know, got their revenge. And
mm-hmm.
the bombing, the carpet bombing has been going on ever since. So NBC News broke it about a couple hours back. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, Joe Biden hopes that there will be Israel-Hamas ceasefire by next Monday. So what do you think? Do you think that there will be a ceasefire, or will Netanyahu continue the carpet bombing?
I do think that, I don't know about Netanyahu, but I do think that President Biden is at the end of his rope. I think he's starting to understand, well, because in Michigan right now, tomorrow's our primary tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And of course, we talked about this before. You know, there's a few people that are saying not to vote, you know, either for Trump or for not to vote for Biden as in the primary, just uncommitted, you know, just to show that you want, you know, to put pressure on President Biden. Well, you know, President Biden has been putting pressure all along on Netanyahu, and we know that negotiations take time. So President Biden, like you said, David, tonight they did break this story, and we're hoping that next week, yes, they do have some sort of a solution for a temporary ceasefire or a permanent ceasefire. They really didn't say, but
mm-hmm.
let's hope that it does happen. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think President Biden has wanted that all along. You know, I do believe he's tried to put all the pressure on him that he possibly can. But how can a person
mm-hmm.
be in places plus being a presidential campaign, plus try to work on the border, plus our budget is ending this week, our deficit budget. That's coming to close on Friday. What else do we have
mm-hmm.
going on? Is there anything else that's going on in this country all at the same time that President Biden has to, you know, tend to?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
And with all that, Republicans taking a 2-week hiatus, vacation,
exactly.
after doing nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so
yeah.
today Biden was on the border along with Trump to analyze and assess what's going on and everything. But here is NBC News reporting what Biden said about the Israel-Hamas ceasefire and that it will begin next
mm-hmm.
Monday.
Peter, I'm Hallie, and we've got a breaking news update just into us here on the war between Israel and Hamas. With President Biden, in just the last 15 minutes, suggesting that a deal for a truce, a temporary ceasefire, could come very soon. Listen.
My national security advisor tells me that we're close. We're close. It's not done yet. And my hope is by next Monday, we'll have a ceasefire.
My hope is by next Monday we'll have a ceasefire. I just have to pause and note that it may seem incongruous that the president is holding an ice cream cone when he's talking about that. He's actually at 30 Rock. We'll talk about this in a minute, but he had a separate appearance. The pool of reporters that always travels with him is traveling with him. They had the opportunity to ask him that question. That's why you're seeing that image there. It is a big deal, right? I mean, the potential for a ceasefire in Gaza is a big deal because of what we have seen during this war. The negotiations now that have gone on for weeks, varying levels of optimism over whether they would actually come through, and now this news from the president. To be clear, we don't have many more details or any more details other than what the president himself has said, like how long it could last, what it would look like. Because just today, the Israeli Minister of Defense pledged that even if Israel does agree to a temporary ceasefire, it'll keep fighting until all the hostages are free. I want to bring in Aaron Gilchrist, who is live for us at the White House here. And Aaron, listen, this is the president very publicly choosing to lay down this marker, this timeline for when he thinks there could be this significant development with the ceasefire. Talk us through it.
You're right. I mean, he's done something that we haven't heard any other leaders in his administration or any other government really do, and that is give us a day, not certain, but a day that he believes there could be some resolution to the effort to get another ceasefire in place. And so I'll take sort of a step back here and kind of pull in a few threads that have been coming together over the last several days. We know that Prime Minister, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, was on television here in the States yesterday and talked about the possibility of a ceasefire deal, saying that his people had met with the American, Qatari, and Egyptian teams in France over the weekend to talk about this deal. We knew that the contours of the deal had started to come together and that there was some degree of optimism that there could be a ceasefire deal, a deal to release hostages, but that the Israelis needed to take Hamas's additional demands, Israel, the prime minister, needed to take those demands back to his cabinet to discuss and to talk about whether they would adhere to some of those deals. Prime Minister Netanyahu said on television yesterday that he felt like Hamas was being unrealistic, to put it nicely, in some of the things that it was demanding, and so he wasn't saying for certain that this is a deal that would come together. But we did get indications from the president's national security advisor, Jake Sullivan, that the contours were in place and that the work was still going to be happening, continuing to happen, to hammer out the final details of a deal and to see something come together that would allow for a pause in the fighting, an extended pause in the fighting. There had been talk about the potential for 6 weeks of a pause in some of the fighting, and, of course, a release of hostages and an effort to get more aid, food, medicine, and things of that sort into Gaza to people who've been suffering for months now, the Palestinians there who've been suffering for months now while this war has been going on. And so this first sign, Hallie, as you said, an indication that we could be in the final days of a deal coming together, as the president said, possibly by the end of the weekend.
But you make a good point, Aaron, that it has been weeks, right, days, weeks that we have seen top administration officials, even though they haven't spoken publicly about it. I'm thinking of CIA Director Bill Burns, for example, who we know, based on our reporting, has done some traveling for these negotiations. It's not like those folks are holding press conferences, right? The National Security Advisor revealing much behind the scenes about where these negotiations for a ceasefire stand, which is why the significance of what we're hearing from the president matters. You've got about 130 hostages still being held, even if there are these also questions also about this pledge from Israel on what happens in Rafah there. Israel has said that by the start of Ramadan, if they don't see movement on some of this stuff, that they will potentially go in on a ground offensive there. It's a place where there are a lot of civilians. Civilians were told to go there and shelter. I mean, this is a real, it's an inflection point, it seems, in many ways for this war.
Yeah, I mean, 1.4 million roughly is the number that we're hearing of Palestinians in Rafah right now, and those people would need to be removed from harm's way. The Israelis have said that they are working on a plan that would allow for the evacuation of civilians in Rafah. Our reporter on the ground in Israel, Raf Sanchez, has been able to talk to some sources there who said that there's an expectation that those civilians would be allowed to move somewhat north out of Rafah back into Gaza, not into the northern part of Gaza, but out of where the fighting could happen. Netanyahu, though, for his part, said that if a deal does come together, it would delay any military movement into Rafah. And so there's a lot of hope around the world, and certainly with all the parties, the countries that have been engaged in this negotiation process, that they will be able to come to some agreement on a ceasefire, that there will be an effort to help civilians who have been suffering so badly over these many months. And potentially this could be the beginning of additional conversations that could lead to a more extensive ceasefire, potentially even an end to some of the fighting. Although, as you noted, Hallie, the Israelis have said that they intend to fight again, even after a pause might come to an end.
Thanks. Yep, so there you have it. Gaza is flat like car park, and you know, better ceasefire now than never. So do you think a ceasefire will come in existence, Lori?
I certainly hope so. I think that is President Biden's goal. He does understand and he does know that, you know, young people and Palestinians, you know, and of course, you know, most human beings want the ceasefire to end, of course. So, yes, I do believe that he wants it. I do believe that he's working towards it, and I think he'll find a way to do it. I have faith in President Biden.
Mm-hmm. Yes, man. So what do you think about the House GOP wanting to cancel Joe Biden's State of the Union address?
Yeah.
You know, they're doing everything in their power to not give him airway, meaning, you know, a State of the Union usually lay out the president's plans and goals for the fiscal year and what he has accomplished in the past. So GOP has nothing to rebut him in this speech. So basically he wants to cut Joe Biden off by the knees and not make him, you know, invite him to make the presidential State of the Union speech. As usual, the GOP being appalling and crass and disgusting, you know. Elaine, what do you think about them trying to do that?
What do I think about that? I think it's horrible. I mean, they're rewriting everything. They're rewriting the Bible. They're rewriting the way people live. They claim they're less government, yet they're in everybody's bedroom, both men, women, and children. I can't even think of a word to describe them anymore.
No, you're just not.
Deplorable is too nice of a word for him. I mean, he's the president of the United States, whether they like it or not. He's the president, and he has a right to give a State of the Union address. They're just sickening.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yep.
And recently,
go on.
Oh yeah, recently, you know, he recently the South Carolina primary, he won. He beat Nikki Haley, and would you believe that this man had the nerve to stand up on stage because the lights were bright, shining in his eyes? So, oh, I can't see anybody. I just see the black people, you know.
Yeah.
And it's you know, I mean, oh my God.
And then insinuating that black people know what it's like to get a mugshot. I mean, give me a break already.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just plain got to stop. It's just plain got to stop. And I caught the tail end of what Laurie was talking about. This hate, and this is pure, unadulterated, rotten, stinking hate, has got to stop.
Yes.
You know, this one bathroom business, well, for 200 years, everybody used the outhouse out back, and it was for either or. It was for either man, woman, child, LBGDQ, whatever.
Yep.
The bathroom housed everybody. Now all of a sudden, bathrooms are something that is so holier than thou.
Mm-hmm.
Poop is poop.
So the State of the Union, they're not going to cancel it for sure, are they?
I hope not.
Well, you know, usually the opposing party are, you know, members of the House who are in control invite the president to make a State of the Union. But because of Republicans, they want to try to cancel that, not give Joe Biden any airtime to, you know, say what his programs are for the upcoming fiscal year, what he has accomplished, because it'll make them look bad, kind of have nothing, basically, for the past 4 years. You know, so former House Freedom Caucus Chair Congressman Scott Perry from Pennsylvania is calling on Speaker Mike Johnson to stop President Biden from giving his annual State of the Union address next month. So Perry said during an appearance Monday on Fox Business that Republicans should use the opportunity to ramp up pressure on Biden over the southern border amid influx of migrants. So, you know, there's no great influx of migrants. They're just blowing it out of proportion, as usual. According to Perry, and I quote, "We need to use every single point of leverage. The president comes at the invitation of Congress, and Republicans are in control of the House. There's no reason that we need to invite him to get more propaganda and actually blame the American people for the crisis he caused." And Congressman Perry is so wrong because it's Republicans who have blocked everything. Imagine for weeks, maybe months, Democrats and Republicans in the Senate work hard and throughout the night to come up with a plan to, you know, stop illegal border crossings. And because of, you know, they're afraid of Donald Trump. Trump said, no, kill it, because that's what I plan to run on.
you know, and they care less. And nothing has been done about immigration, you know, and for the past 40 years. And we just have, like, total chaos now on the border. You know, so the House Republicans have rejected bipartisan legislation that Biden backed aimed at providing additional border security. We gave away the farm, Democrats and Biden, and yet the Republicans said no. So after former President Trump, the clear frontrunner for the party's presidential nomination, spoke out against the bill, critics say Republicans would rather use the issue to help Trump in 2024 than solve the problem. So there you go. It turns into a political football where the solution was there. Democrats and Republicans in the Senate worked hard together to come to this compromise, who gave the farm away to Republicans, and yet still said no. So Perry, who's our retired National Guard general, previously said that he didn't think Biden is mentally competent to continue leading the country. So according to him, he told Fox News on February 11th, it's abusive what's been done using him to be president. And I don't know why he's making many decisions. There's a lot of people around him that I fear are making the decisions. So he's trying to say that Joe Biden is incompetent and incapable and senile, basically. And he's more senile than Donald Trump. He can't put two sentences together. He shits himself on stage. He thinks he's running against Barack Obama. He blames Nikki Haley for the January 6th insurrection, not sending no troops yet to quell the violence. Donald Trump is worse than Joe Biden. At least Joe Biden gets shit done. You know, he's been getting shit done for the past 3 years. Donald Trump, not so much. You know, he is, you know, pro-Russia. He's doing the bidding of Russia and Vladimir Putin, because Putin and the Kremlin have many things on Donald Trump. You know, so we can't afford America to go back to Donald Trump being president, because it's the end of the republic, end of democracy, an end of everything you hold dear in America.
Yep.
Well, it's like this. President Biden is sitting there at the bully pulpit. He calls for a press conference. He calls it his State of the Union, and he goes on the air.
That's right.
And they can take their concerns, and they can put it where the sun don't shine. And
that's
the president
right.
talk about all his accomplishments. He can talk about how they killed their own bill, and if they don't like it, then they can just, they're the ones that can either shape up or ship out.
I'll even put in a
buck 25 towards their ticket for out, if that's what they want.
Exactly. And you know, that was the best thing that he could do. Just do something on national television, make it an hour, you know, no fanfare, no nothing. He can go through just like he were, you know, just like he would do for the rest, you know, just like his, if he was doing the presidential address, and go for it. And this way they don't have to listen to these Republicans, watch how rude they are. They won't stand up. They'll probably jeer at them and everything else. There's no need for it. He doesn't need that aggravation. I think that's a great idea.
He's running the country. Let him do it. Let him call for the State of the Union. And if he wants fanfare, God bless him. Let him do it. I'd like to see a little fanfare. We all deserve it. I am so sick of listening to their doom and gloom.
Yep.
He can go on for an hour and a half, whatever it takes.
Yep.
By the way, I happen to be privilege to receive a phone call, which was very similar to Kitchen Politics 123, except the call was made to people in Michigan, and it was President Biden speaking to the people of Michigan, because he's so busy. He can't be everywhere. So it was a phone conversation, and there was quite a few people online, and I would love to hear him do a State of the Union. He spoke very clearly, very eloquently, and I blame social media, because the posts I've been complaining about that quite a few times that I've called in. Social media, they doctor his words. They make him, they must put it on slow speed to make it sound like he's slurring or he's drunk. And that is not the conversation that we had over the phone in Michigan on Saturday afternoon.
That's right.
The president addressed everybody's question. Some questions were local and some questions were national. And I'm not going to go into the national questions because that's something that's very touchy right now.
Yeah.
And I thank Angela and Jillian in Albuquerque, New Mexico for, you know, telling me that, you know, a non-binary person is neither he or she, but they are referred to as they and them. So thank you for that insight and all. You know, it's really sad that this country, especially in Oklahoma and that part of the country, they're so deep in their religion, you know, and to fight against LGBTQ people who, you know, just want to live their lives and, you know, live fulfilling lives and, you know, just do the thing and be left alone and not be judged because of who they are, you know. And this person what's the person's name? Next, Benedict. You know, she was just living her life, going to school like a regular teenager and everything. And for judgmental people, like the girls who be living crap out of them, you know, I mean, I hope they're brought to justice. And this state senator who made that statement, I wish nothing but bad for him, because how can you not address the elephant in the room where, you know, a 16-year-old LGBTQ person who's non-binary was literally beaten to a pulp in a bathroom and because of head injuries, succumbed to their injuries. You know, you didn't address that, but you're addressing, oh, how we're fighting to get LGBTQ people out of Oklahoma. That's disgusting. You have no business being in office. You know, and whoever you are, Kitchen Politics 123, every week to election day and probably afterwards, we're going to call your name and give people the telephone number to call you and harass you, because this is not acceptable in America. This is the 21st century, not 1920s, where people are judged based on the skin color or the gender they prefer, or because, you know, they may be gay or transsexual or whatever in LGBTQ, you know? It's not right being judgmental like that. And how dare the state senator make a statement like that?
Laurie,
yeah, he called her Phil.
Was this school a suburban school, or was this an inner city school?
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, whatever school it is, it shouldn't happen. It shouldn't happen.
I know it shouldn't happen, but I'm going for a point. And I can't make it because we don't know if it was a suburban school or an inner city school. But the Republicans are always pointing fingers at inner city kids. And it seems like when tragedies happen, they happen in suburban schools.
Are you asking if she's black? Is that what you're asking, Elaine?
It doesn't necessarily have to be a black school. It could be a white school in a hardcore city area.
Yeah.
Or it could be a suburban school in a hotsy-totsy area.
Really say.
I have a feeling it was a suburban school in a fancy area.
It's hard to say. It's a Owasso, Oklahoma. So I'm not familiar. If someone is familiar, let us know. It's
It wouldn't be a big city school.
Owasso, Oklahoma is where the school is.
It sounds it's a little city. So it's probably one of the suburban or farm areas.
Yeah, maybe. It's hard to know.
And according to the Republicans, those are good areas.
Yeah.
515-605-9802. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics
123.
What's cooking?
Wrong.
Hello. Go ahead.
Oh yeah. Hello, new caller's on. Hello, Susie, you're online. Hello.
Oh yes, I didn't know if it was up to me yet.
Hi, Susie. How are you?
Good. I found in our local Traverse City paper, in Sunday's paper, letter to the editor that is right on topic today. This guy is very articulate. So if you allow me, I'll read it because he covers everything.
Sure.
It's the heading is Biggest Issue, Saving American Democracy. William Gladys said, quote, stupidity is the deliberate cultivation of ignorance, end of quote. Critically assessing issues affecting America and political candidates' positions is imperative. Unwillingness to do so leads to ignorance and inappropriate voter choices. These quotes and explanations describe terms associated with democratic governance. The first one, government, quote, the government is us. We are the government, you and I. End of quote. Theodore Roosevelt. This means that we the people govern, not dictators. The next word, democracy. Quote, democracy is a process, not a static condition. It is becoming rather than being. It can be easily lost, but never fully won. Its essence is internal struggle. End of quote by William H. Hastings. This defines America's young democracy as continually evolving. The next word, public service. Quote, public servants should be focused on serving the public, and good governance should be an exception, not an exception. End of quote by Abigail Spanberger. All elected officials should function this way. The next word, truth. Whoever is careless with the truth in small matters cannot be trusted with the important ones. End of quote, Albert Einstein. Trump's incessant documented lies with Republican silence acceptance makes them untrustworthy for public office. Objectively consider candidates who reflect these descriptions of democratic governance, are qualified, and will fight to maintain our constitutional freedoms. Our future depends on voters voting knowledgeably for America's democracy. End of article. Bill Steers. He said it right on. That was excellent.
That was excellent. That was right on. Yep.
That's what I thought. When I read, I saw that, I said, oh, I got to cut it out for the art of talk tonight. But
yeah,
he was right on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's good. Yep, he was right on.
And I know, like, they were talking on TV today about all the misinformation out there and how people are caught in the spiral of misinformation and they, you know, and getting brainwashed and stuff.
Oh, yeah. I truly believe that, you know, this afternoon Nicole Wallace came back on MSNBC. And they had a short clip of Kimmel, not Kimmel himself, but Kimmel's staff were out doing a couple of interviews, Trump supporters, and they asked them a question, but they used Biden's name. It was a quote, actually, that actually Trump said, but they said that Biden said it. So when they said Biden said it, they were – oh, my, they were just infuriated at this quote. And then when they said, oh, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I meant to say Trump said it. And then they said, oh, yeah, Trump probably just made a mistake. He probably didn't mean to say that at all. So it does not matter. They even said this afternoon, it doesn't matter. These people are so down the rabbit hole. That's the only way I can describe it. They are so far down the rabbit hole, there's no coming back for these people. There really is none.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how I watched it and I thought, oh, my God, you know, this woman, she just went a 180 when she heard it was Trump instead of Biden. She just completely changed her statement. It was okay for Trump to say it, But it was horrible for Biden. You know what I mean? It's just so, it's so insane. And there's no way that we can combat this because I think it's too late. In my opinion, I think it's too late. Whatever it's going to be is going to be now.
I have a solution, Lori. I have a solution. God forbid, man, God heaven forsend this, but can't we just shoot the motherfuckers, the people who, like, hurt LGBTQ people, who hurt immigrants, who, you know, hurt non-Christian people, you know? Because, you know, that's the only way to combat this hate. There's not hate going against hate, but fire with fire and blood for blood, you know? They hurt one of ours, we put the whole family in a morgue. That's the only solution because it's turning out a cheat. I'm just sick of this bullshit, you know? You know, because
Dave,
LGBTQ
Dave, it
people
isn't the Christians.
And other
they say they're
minorities.
Christians. But they say they're Christians. They're not Christians. They're fascists. Just come out and say it. There are little Mussolinis and Hitlers, and they want to change everything to their way of thinking and dominate everything. It's not Christians because, you know, they don't follow the Bible. None of that's in the Bible.
How can we combat these assholes? How can we combat these assholes if
we're
not going to get a violent opponent?
This is how I'm this is what I'm trying to say, and this is how I'm starting to feel. I'm starting to feel that the people that believe Trump will never, ever change their mind. They will. You will never. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face. I had a girlfriend. I've explained this before. You can talk to them till you're blue in the face. You know, we had a family member that went down the Trump trail, went down the rabbit hole, so to speak. Didn't really know it until he wouldn't take his COVID shot, and I told the story as well. You know, he died, and then they found all kinds of evidence that he was down the rabbit hole, a Trump supporter, and believed all the garbage, all of it, after he died. So what I'm saying is I don't know if there's any hope. All I have to say is I'm hoping that there are enough intelligent people that understand between democracy and dictatorship or losing your democracy. And, you know, the other thing that I worry about, David and Susie and Elaine, I worry about this a lot because, like me, for instance, I've never lived in anything but a democracy. And the only reason that I know about fascism is because of my mom. My mom lived it. So that's the only way. And she told me the story of what happened to them and her family in Italy and how the fascists came, the Germans came, and how they took over. So that is the reason that I know. And my mom cherished our democracy because she knew what it was like to live in a fascist state for a while, you know. So what I'm trying to say is people don't understand what a democracy really is because when you're born into it like we are and the freedoms that we had in our lives that are starting to get taken away a little bit at a time, and unless it affects you exactly, and let's put it this way, unless it affects you and hits you in the face because it's something that, let's say you want to have an abortion and now you can't have one, or you want to have IVF and now you can't have that, unless it's affecting you just like that, you may not be paying attention. That's what I'm trying to say. So I'm not sure if those people even count anymore. I think it's the people that understand and their situations have to be, their toes need to be stepped on. Maybe that's a better way of saying it. Does that make sense at all?
Yes, it does. And today they've been talking about restricting contraception.
Yep.
So, I mean, what do they do? They're going to make us prisoners, women especially? I mean, men rule and women can go to hell? Is that it?
Yeah. No, and have their babies and then raise the babies so that they can go work in the farm.
There's
a farm in the country.
You know, people who are listening out there who want to come out, if you're gay and you want to come out, National LGBTQ Hotline is 888
888-542-8, the support hotline. And if you're a youth and you want to talk, it's 800-246-7743. And another number for LGBTQ National Hotline. They're open Mondays to Fridays, 1 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. The number is 888-843-4564. So, you know, you don't have to, like, battle this alone. If you live in Oklahoma, if you live in anywhere in the Red Bible Belt, you know, you have people to talk to, you know. And, you know, don't kill yourself because, you know, you're gay and you're confused about your sexuality and everything. People are out there to help you and talk to you and, you know, come out proud and have you. But who you are. If somebody don't like you for who you are, then fuck them. Okay, another person, Rich, calling from California. Rich, welcome to the show. What's cooking? Hello, Rich. Welcome to the show.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Can you hear me okay?
Oh, not bad. Yes, loud and clear.
Okay, good, good. I know we always have fun when we're talking. Hey, David, you know, my mom was listening to your show, and she goes, I think there's hope for David.
Mm-hmm.
She said she liked you. So I wanted to talk to you about two things, if it's okay with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
One,
sure.
it says Biden is beating Trump among young voters, but
mm-hmm.
Trump's trying to catch up. And then the
mm-hmm.
other thing I just want to tell you from, like, the Christian perspective, you know how you were talking about, like, the LGBTQ and all this other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
reason why I think Christians are, you know, we love people that are in that lifestyle, you know, but the reason why I think Christians and also Muslims is the reason why they disagree with it is because it talks
mm-hmm.
about it in the scripture. So I'm
mm-hmm.
not going to go through, like, the whole thing, but
mm-hmm.
just to show you, it's kind of hard to argue that it doesn't say it in the Bible. It says,
mm-hmm.
for example, for all those, I'm reading from Romans 1:21. It says,
hello.
For although they, well, why would you stop
Rich?
It? Why,
because this is Lori. Stop right now. This
aren't you a Christian, Lori?
Because
he's been on before.
My show, and you're not going to give me this crap. I don't care if you like
it. I'm reading
it or
through
not.
The Bible.
You don't,
the Bible's not
exactly,
crass.
You're exactly doing that. Did you ask my permission? Did you ask permission to come on
yeah,
our show and read from the Bible? No, you did not.
Yeah, I just said it
and
right
I'm
now.
I'm in a mood today, so do not cross me today. I'm in a mood. I'm very upset because a 16-year-old girl was killed in Oklahoma because she was non-binary. And is that Christian?
Well, this is,
she was beat to death.
This
is
what I'm
going to
talk about.
Rich, did Jesus talk about
homosexuality? David, so let's do this so we're all very respectful.
David?
Yes, exactly. Let's do this so we're all respectful to each other, because I came on being very respectful, and right off the bat, I've been disrespected. So let's
no,
all show tolerance. I want to hear tolerance
on,
from
Rich.
The left.
Rich.
This is not the Bible hour.
This is not a Bible study. This is not a Bible study. This is Kitchen Politics 1, 2, 3.
That's right.
First of all.
So
if you want to read
I'm
something
answering
out of the Bible, you ask permission. That's what you
okay,
do.
Okay, well, let me
that's
say
what
something.
You do.
You,
and
you
then
guys,
if we say yes, you can. If we say no, you cannot. That's how it's going to be.
Lori?
Don't worry.
Lori, can I say
don't.
Something? You guys,
been
I'm
on
listening
before.
To your show.
He's
I'm
been
listening
on
to your show, and this is what you... Please let me finish. I'm listening to the show, and you
yeah.
guys were just talking about how Christians, how you got to change Christians and what they believe, that
well,
they're saying
say
homosexuality
that.
Is...
Well, no, we didn't
I,
say
I,
that.
I,
absolutely
I'm
not.
Just listening. Just you were
words.
Talking about...
He's been on before. He's on to
okay.
disrupt the program.
Okay,
no.
So here's... This is what I was going to say. So in Islam and in
I
Christianity...
Don't
Listen to me, Rich.
Lori, I'm asking you. I'm going to ask you a question, Lori.
No, you're not.
Does it condemn homosexuality?
No. This is my show.
In the Bible or Islam?
Stop. I don't care about Islam. I don't want to hear about the Bible. I was talking about a 16-year-old girl.
That's what I'm talking about.
Listen to me. It has nothing to do with the Bible. It has to do with her own life. Do not bring Islam into it.
That's what the Bible's about.
Or else I'm going to have David
cut you off. Rich, can I ask a question?
David, I just want to say one line.
And
but go ahead.
He's mean to David because he doesn't like women.
No, he doesn't.
Well,
David,
he has been on before. This is that character from California.
It is. It's all right, Elaine. It's all right. I'll take care of it.
Okay.
I'm
Hold
being
on.
Very
can
respectful to you guys.
Rich.
I think you should return the favor.
It's not being respectful.
Rich, can I
you're
ask a question?
To what I'm saying to
don't
you.
You think,
you're not
yes,
listening.
David.
You're not
don't
listening
you think
to
that
what
is
I'm
very
saying.
Disrespectful by the state senator to make the comment that he made after the LGBTQ person was murdered.
Did you hear that?
Died. You know, did you hear that statement that he made? You know, saying that they're going to fight to keep LGBTQ out of Oklahoma because we don't accept people like them. Whether he wants to accept them or not, LGBTQ.
I'm going to answer.
Okay, go ahead,
and Lori,
and
if I could ask you out of respect to Lori. Lori, it's a horrible thing with the LGBT person dies or like when you said you had a family member that died of COVID and stuff. It's horrible. My question for you is, where do you believe the person that's in the LGBT lifestyle goes when they pass away?
Here we go. Here we go with their bullshit.
It's not my business where they go. Do you get that? It's not my business where they go. It's not my business where you go when you pass away. It's not my business where Elaine goes when she passes away because it's not my life. My life, I take care of my life and where I go when I pass away. Do you understand that?
Okay, so
that is what it's all about. Not paying attention and getting into other people's business and worrying about, you should be worrying about where you're going to go when you die. Don't worry about where everyone else in the world's going to go when they die because they don't care where you go. Do you get that or not?
Do you care?
Do you understand that? I mean, does
how
that
about
make sense
thou shall not kill?
Rich, does that make sense to you? Does that make sense to you, what I just said?
Well, Lori, I'd like to have a conversation rather than I'm just asked questions and I can't even talk. Can I talk freely? I'm
this
is very
not the
respectful.
Bible.
Don't start with the Bible. Don't start
well, listen,
with the Bible,
then you guys shouldn't talk on your show about Christianity because when a Christian calls in, you don't want to talk about it. You need to quit talking about it then.
It isn't that, Rich. You are judgmental. I can tell by the way you talk.
Are you judging me right now?
No, you are judgmental.
You just call me judgmental. Isn't that being judged?
I said you are judgmental. I'm not.
Yeah, you're judging me.
And you know why I know you're judgmental? You know why I know you are judgmental? Because you asked me if I cared where she went when she died. It isn't. It's none of my business.
I didn't
what
ask
she,
that.
What happened to her
I did
when
not
she
ask
died.
That. I said, where do you think she went when she died?
Exactly. That's not my business.
Right.
Do you understand that? That is not my. That is God's business. That's not your business.
Can I say something though? This is the key to it. Okay, let me just speak. If you said you're a professing Christian, I say I'm a Christian. Did not Jesus say, go into all the world and preach the gospel? Did he say that?
Yes, he did.
Yes, he
very
did say
good.
That.
Thank you,
however,
David.
However, did Jesus judge homosexuals? Did he speak about gays?
No.
Nowhere in the
David,
Bible, I say.
You're asking, I'm going to answer David's question. Now, I want to stop and say thank you. See, that's all you got to do. Just answer honestly. I'll answer.
Well,
David said, yes, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. So let me finish. Please, just give me 30 seconds for heaven's sake. So, David, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Okay. So the question is, and David answered it correctly, of course, and I know Lori agrees too, that Jesus said go out and preach the gospel. So mm-hmm. a Christian can't divorce themselves from the gospel. And so what is the mm-hmm. gospel? The gospel talks about these gender issues. And what it says, mm-hmm. it says, in the same way, the men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed shameful acts with other men. Furthermore, just as they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, God gave mm-hmm. them over to a depraved mind. And it talks about women mm-hmm. exchanging the natural use for the men. So
wait a
second. We can disagree on these things, but you can uh-huh. never, this is my last sentence, you can never say the Bible doesn't condemn the action. You're not going to be able to change it because you...
Rich,
who wrote the Bible? Who wrote the Bible? The Bible is written by a man.
Holy, who wrote the Declaration of Independence? Who wrote the Constitution? Of course, just because something's written by man doesn't mean it's not true.
No, King James Version. King James Version twists up the thing. And,
so the Bible...
to make it...
David, the Bible's not just a book. It's a library. It's a collection of books. So holy men inspired by God had written it. But,
okay, if it's a collection
of books... Go ahead, Lori,
I'm
sorry.
One second. If it's a collection of books and it's not in our Constitution, I don't care. Got it? Because I don't have to read the Bible. I live my life the way I want to live it. And everyone that knows me knows exactly who I am, exactly who I love, exactly who I don't love, and exactly what kind of person I am. And that's all I care about. Do you understand that, Rich? And so this young lady that really upset me today, and then you have a senator basically saying that she's evil. Evil. Who the hell is he? He is nobody. That's my point. You cannot be a Christian and be hateful.
Well, maybe this is what I'm saying is it's interesting that they said Jesus was hateful. And so we can't just bandy the word hate around. We have to be very careful the way we use it. I believe hate is an objective word. But
it is not an objective word.
The reason why I was answering this question.
Rich, do you know the difference between love and hate? Do you know the difference? There's a big difference between love and hate, and it's not objective. Love is not objective, and hate is not objective. They are feelings, and you know when you have both.
Okay, so here's the thing. So you guys were, and David was bringing up, these Christians are saying these things, and that's true. What David's saying was true, that Christians are saying these things are wrong, and what I was trying to tell you is the only way you're going to get rid of Christians believing that these things are wrong is you're going to have to go get every single Bible and burn it because it's in the Bible. Just read Romans 1. It's right there. It's also in the Quran. You'd have to get every single Quran and burn
that. Not everybody believes in the Bible or Christianity. That's a thing, you know?
What?
And when people, like from evangelical movement, you know, saying, oh, we have to go back to Christianity. America wasn't formed on Christianity or Christian principles. It was formed on religious freedoms.
No, all the founders were Christians. The founders were Christians. Jefferson said liberty is a gift from God. It says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed with these rights from their creator.
But did Thomas Jefferson believe that all men are created equal? You know, no.
He's
why did he have slaves?
Declaration of Independence.
Yeah,
and
sorry,
this is what Martin Luther.
Declaration of Church and State. I'm going to ask you a question. This boggles my mind. These Christian churches, the ones that are like Joyce, what is her name?
Whitmer, whatever.
No, Joyce. She's a Christian. Preacher, she's been around forever, she's a multi-millionaire, you know, they have jets, and they have multi-million dollar homes.
Joyce Meyer.
You know, yes, Joyce Myers, and, you know, all these different Christian, supposedly Christian preachers that are
you know, have all these lavish things, and they want so much money from their parishioners, and they go around in, you know, jets and have a lifestyle of, you know, the rich and the lovely and the, you know, they're jetting off everywhere, and they don't pay any taxes. Is that okay with you, Rich? No taxes. Is that okay with you?
Well, I'm going to tell you, it's interesting that you said that, because they said the same thing to Jesus when they were spilling this expensive ointment over them. They said, what a waste that you would do this on the church. But see, you just said there's a separation, and the churches really do pay.
I'm just asking you a question. Don't bring all
they do pay taxes.
I asked you a simple question. All these evangelical churches that are multi-billion, they're billionaires, a lot of them are billionaires. And I'm not even going to look at their names because I don't care to know. And I used to know more of them, but I don't anymore. And like I said, they live lavish lifestyles. They, you know, they preach. Sure, they preach.
Yeah.
You know, and all of that. But they don't pay any taxes. Why?
Yes.
Do you pay taxes, Rick? Do you pay taxes?
Give me 30 seconds. Give me 30 seconds to answer. I think the pastor should be better paid than Taylor Swift.
Oh, God.
I think if Taylor Swift can make all this money.
Because
David, I'm doing that because I know you had
Jesus
Taylor
lived.
Swift on the
Rich, hold on. Rich, Jesus rode on a donkey. He didn't have, you know, fancy cars or live in a big mansion, you know, or have private jets or anything. He lived a simple, normal, regular life. So these evangelical preachers who on the pulpit speaking politics should lose the tax status because of speaking politics. You know, it's a law. If you talk politics, you lose tax status.
I think the highest paid person in the world should be the person that preaches the word of God. More than basketball players or football players.
I think
it's what you value.
How do you know that that word of God that they are preaching is the truth? Do you know that it's the truth? No, you don't.
I do know it's the truth.
No, you don't. Then you are.
I do know
gullible.
It's truth. I believe Jesus is trustworthy.
Then you are
I believe he's proved it.
You are very gullible, Rich. Mm. Please.
Hey,
so,
Rich,
are you judging me again?
We appreciate it. Yeah. That was Rich in California, Christian, conservative, Donald Trump supporters and everything. Yeah, time to move on. 47 minutes left. Number to call, 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from. Listen, politics and religion should not mix. The founding fathers of America were not Christian. Two shows ago, I read it where Thomas Jefferson would say that, you know, America wasn't born as a Christian nation. You know, all the forefathers, the founding fathers of America, I read what I said, you know.
And you can go back to two shows ago when I said it. You know, that was their words, not mine. So for Rich to come on to say, oh, you know, the founding fathers of America were Christian. No, they were not. George Washington, you know, deliberately said that we're not a Christian nation. Thomas Jefferson, James Madison, James Monroe, you know, Benjamin Franklin, you know, Uncle Ben said America is not a Christian nation. So why are we going on about this thing? That should have been put to bed a long time ago, but these religious nut jobs keep coming in and trying to overrule and turn the government upside down. God forbid Donald Trump coming back into power. He'll put his people in the civil service and other important branches in government. And let's totally fuck it up even more. I will not have that because Donald Trump is a fascist. Okay? And we don't like fascists. We fought against fascism in the 1940s against Hitler and Mussolini. We'll not go through it again. You know? And I say it again. We're going to fight fire with fire and blood for blood. You know, you come to the polls to vote. They come with their guns. We come with our guns. Okay, we're not going to take it lying down or turn
not
next cheek or anything. We are not going to lie down. This is our democracy. America is our country, and we're going to fight tooth and nail to save the democracy. So if you call this show and promote hate against LGBTQ, against immigrants, against women, against minorities,
then you're not welcome here, okay? You know, we're grateful for the call and everything, and we'll try to have a conversation, but the conversation not going anywhere if you're trying to, like, ram your Christianity or your Islam or whatever religion you believe in down people's throat. It's not going to work.
Not happening. No. You know, no one is going to come on this show and think that they're going to read the Bible on here. It's not going to happen. It just will not happen. I'm sorry. I don't work to do that kind of stuff. I just don't. I don't work to keep this show going to make him feel good. And you notice that when I asked him about paying taxes, these evangelists, these big churches that make billions of dollars a year, oh, that's okay. It seems like it's okay, isn't it? But he had a bone to pick with Taylor Swift. Why? What is wrong with Taylor Swift? What is wrong with her? She's an entertainer. She's loved all around the world. She gives money constantly, constantly. She's giving money to the poor, to many people, to many organizations, every city that she goes to. And he has the nerve to bring her up. Why? Why?
Because that's part of his narrative.
What did she do wrong? Did she hurt him? You see, that's my point, Elaine, is that these Christian people, like, okay, he mentioned, is God going to take this non-binary soul, he meant into heaven. What does it matter to him or to me or to David or to you or to Susie or to anybody? Why does it matter? Why do we have to think about it, what God's going to do with her soul? It's not our business, is it?
Did you notice their leader, Donald Trump, is against Muslims, but he comes on the show and he is going to read from the Quran also, because the Muslims, they denounce LGBTQ people. All of a sudden, he formed an alliance, but in the second breath, when Donald Trump wants to take and throw every Muslim out of the United States, they're for it?
Yep. Oh, all the immigrants.
What a hypocrite.
Yeah, he's going to deport them all. Come on. You know, let's
okay, moving right along now. Yeah, moving right along. Shutdown fears rise with both Democrats and Republicans saying progressive. The government is soon going to be shut down. The Republicans have a 2-week leave and everything. They're not doing anything to, you know, so that the government work efficiently. You know, so do you think there is a deal that's going to be made after the Republicans come back from break, so the government will shut down, or do they want to see the government shut down?
I think they came back today. Is what I think. I'm pretty sure they came back today. They all, you know, after they worked really hard on that border deal, the bipartisan one, and then Trump told them to kill it, that's when they decided to take a 2-week break, just like that. Did they get paid for that break? Did they get paid for that break? Really?
Yeah.
Who are these people that can just get just all of a sudden because they, you know, just take a 2-week break? Because they know if they would have stayed there, they would have been in very hot water because they can't make a border deal either. Exactly. I mean, what more do people have to see or hear to understand what's going on in this country? How much more do we have to show people that the Republican Party, the MAGAs, these national, what are they called, David? National Christians? I don't even know what they're called.
White nationalists. White nationalist Christians.
Yes. You know, all of that. All of them. You know, what more do we have to show you people? Can you go back into history and look to see what happened to this country? What happened when the Nazis? I mean, what more do we have to tell people? I don't understand, and I'm frustrated tonight about so many things. And then Rich really put the frosting on my cake today, but I'm sorry.
Okay, so the March 1st deadline coming up, approaching. Chuck Schumer warned senators in a Dear Colleague letter Sunday to keep their schedules flexible since no agreement has been reached. And I quote Chuck Schumer, while we had hoped to have legislation ready this weekend that would give ample time for members to review the text, it's clear now that House Republicans need more time to sort themselves out, end quote. Mm-hmm. So them going on a break, it just shows the lack of respect for the American people, the lack of continuation of government, because they want the government shut down. They think Democrats will look bad, and they think it hurt Joe Biden. But the past mm-hmm. four shutdowns has hurt Republicans tremendously, you know?
Yes,
and Democrats are about business. Time and time again, that Democrats are about business, passing legislation without their help most of the time, you know, and Republicans just dragging their feet, trying to look make the president and Democrats look bad, and they're not they're absolutely doing anything, nothing, nada, zilch,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So
and
what
you know,
will it take for the American people to who vote Republican to not vote for them anymore?
Yeah.
You know, you can't have a conversation with these people. You cannot reason with these people. Every time it's Joe Biden's fault, it's Democrats' fault. Democrats are working to meet Republicans halfway, and Republicans aren't doing nothing. What they're doing is going home on 2-week break, not doing anything.
Yeah.
Then what should Democrats do? The Democrats don't have the majority to pass any laws. They need Republicans' help. So Americans out there who are fed up with what's going on, look yourself in the mirror and answer yourself honestly. Who is putting roadblock after roadblock and saying no to everything to move America forward? Republicans. Stop voting Republican. Stop voting against your economic interests. Stop voting, you know, stop voting against hate. You know, Republicans hate everybody who's not Anglo-Saxon white man. Okay? Women should know the place as far as Republicans concerned. Gays shouldn't be alive, according to Republicans, evangelicals. You know, this is not what America is about. You know, so fight back. You know, stop voting Republican. Unless you have $500 million in a bank account, I couldn't understand where you're coming from. But these stupid shoes that Donald Trump posting, saying, oh, yes, you know, buy it at auction. This one guy bought it for $9,000. You know, that's so stupid. You know,
you
in a trailer park, and you're buying a $9,000 pair of shoes. That's ugly as hell. You know, for a grifter like Donald Trump. What's wrong with you, man? Seriously, what's wrong with you? But I digress.
Exactly.
My throat is killing me. I'm sick. I'm aggravated.
I know.
Move on to the next thing.
The funny thing is, David, about those shoes. You know, they're supposedly sold out, but guess what?
Mm-hmm. Nobody gets any yet.
Those people were promised. They got a little promissory note. When they paid the $400 for the shoes, guess what they got? They didn't get shoes. They got a promissory note. And then the promissory note is so that no shoes will be shipped before July, and even then, there are no guarantees of shipment of that time frame. In other words, suckers.
Exactly. They never learn.
What else can I say?
And
they're
so the Colorado GOP establishment figures are lining up against Lauren Boebert as she faces a competitive primary in her district. So 3 GOP ex-senators endorsed one of Lauren Boebert's primary opponents. And all of them also used to represent the district that Boebert tried to carpet bag her way into District 4 in Colorado. So as Lauren Boebert, Congresswoman from Colorado 3, campaigns in new Colorado District 4, establishment GOP figures who used to represent the area lined up against her. On Thursday, 3 former Colorado GOP senators, Cory Gardner, Wayne Allard and Hank Brown endorsed Logan County Commissioner Jerry Sonnenberg, one of the several opponents Boebert faces in GOP primary. All 3 ex-senators used to represent the 4th District, which covers the eastern portion of the state in the House. Quote from Gardner, former Congressman Gardner, "He will be a passionate and dedicated warrior for our nation and our shared conservative values." Sonnenberg, a former state lawmaker who rose to prominence as the president pro tempore of the Colorado Senate, Senate he endorsed highlighted his deep roots in the district. Each of them knows the 4th District and understands the kind of principled leadership our community needs in Congress. That's what Sonnenberg said. So Boebert, who's currently representing a district covering the opposite side of the state, announced her decision to switch to the deeper red 4th District at the end of 2023, a move commonly known as carpetbagging. And the Congresswoman has argued that she, all constituents from an onslaught of Democratic spending after she won a re-election in 2022 by less than 600 votes. So out of 9 people contesting Congressional District 4 in Colorado, Lauren Boebert is coming 5th or 6th, and she's getting shit on by former Congress people who used to represent the district. So I don't think this year Lauren Boebert will be in Congress.
No.
Be reelected, thank goodness. What's your thoughts on it, ladies?
Yeah, I think the same thing. Especially, you know, those endorsements basically tell the story. You know, they don't want her in there either. So too bad.
Yeah.
It couldn't happen to a better person. But, you know, then the flip side of that coin is, who's going to maybe replace her? Are they smarter and more evil than her? That's the other thing I think about. So,
well, I'm hoping that the Democrat in District 3 will win because he's out raising Republicans 10-1 in District 3, that he lost less than 600 votes, you know, so... I think the ex-Marine will win the red district and turn it blue. And I think Republicans across the board, because there are 4 to 4 different congressional districts that are vulnerable. And as we saw in District 3 in New York, a Democrat re-won that district when, George Santos was kicked out of Congress. They had a special election. Mm-hmm. So each of these elections that happening across the country, we're seeing that even if it's a red district or a semi-red district or neutral district, that Democrats keep winning. And that's a telltale sign of what's to come in November 2024. Democrats, you know, the Republicans pissed off women, pissed off Generation X, Generation XYZ, whoever, you know, and all for giving tax cuts to the wealthy and the 1% on corporations, but not for, you know, moving government forward and working with Democrats. It's their way or the highway. And Mitch McConnell is going to be painting himself in a corner because, you know, according to, you know, rumors going on in Capitol Hill, is that, you know, Donald Trump is seeking his endorsement. You know, he's one of the big wigs who so far hasn't endorsed Donald Trump. And Nikki Haley at this point is running because she feels that if Trump is found guilty and have to go to prison, then she's a standard bearer because she'll have a case saying that, hey, I have X amount of delegates, so why not choose me? But then again, anybody's better than Donald Trump. At the same time, Nikki Haley is a flip-flopper. You know, so you can't trust Republicans in anything. You know, there's no qualified Republican now or forevermore. And if the minority leader, Mitch McConnell, does endorse Donald Trump, it's officially the end of the Republican Party. And me as a Democrat, I don't mind that. But, you know, we need more than one party because usually when one party is a one-party state, things get lackadaisical and people get complacent and everything. You know, but the Republican Party is shit. This is basically shit. And we have to move on, you know, hopefully. Excuse me, the Green Party and whatever other party that's out there, you know, will have some gumption because the Republican Party is absolute garbage now.
Absolutely. It's more than garbage, David. They have no they have no moral compass left. They have no morals left. They have no standards left. They have no policies left. They don't care about people. They don't care. If kids die because they don't have enough food to eat, you know, in Texas, what's his name? Abbott in Texas, he does not want to have a summer lunch program for children that, you know, are food poor. He doesn't want that this summer coming up. Of course not.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he? You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is what the Republican Party has become. Evil,
mm-hmm.
cruel, hateful.
Yeah.
I don't know where did all these people, how did this happen? Were they always, my question to whoever wants to answer this, were these people always in the party or always like a governor or a mayor or something? Were they always there, but they were afraid to speak up, but now they're not? I mean, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they've always been there. I saw
mm-hmm.
the other side
mm-hmm.
of the coin. Lori, you and I have
mm-hmm.
talked about it personally. They have always been there. They are still there, even in Germany.
Yeah.
There will always be Hitler followers generations to come.
Well,
why?
I can't
answer that question.
Yeah.
You told me that in Italy you have relatives there, that there are people there that will continuously think Mussolini was the greatest thing since peanut butter and jelly. So, I mean, I don't know. I can't answer that question, but they've always been there. We just have to outnumber them to shut them up.
Well, I'm thinking more as like governors like Abbott and Metz and Hawley and what are some other names that we can Marjorie Taylor Greene.
Marjorie Taylor Greene. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Were they always this evil? I mean, were they evil when they got elected, or when they got elected, did they get the power? I mean,
they were part of the plan. They were part of the plan that they were going to get their people in one by one. And when they got them in and they felt they were in a good, solid majority is when they attacked. And here we are.
Yeah, because...
Yeah, Trump has brought out the nastiness.
It was a
strategy
since the
80s.
What, David?
Trump made it acceptable to be an asshole publicly, you know, because Trump has been for years and years, people in New York hate his guts. He's always been an asshole. He's always been a liar, a thief, shortcut people in paying them, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, when other people around the country saying, oh, yeah, he's a great businessman, how the hell does a great businessman bankrupt a casino, you know? It's a goddamn casino, you know, all casinos. You know, how does one steal from a cancer charity to help kids dying of cancer and want to live the big life, steal from a cancer
mm-hmm.
fund that help, you know, young kids, you know, with
mm-hmm.
treatment and what have you? Donald Trump is he's worse than a piece of shit. He's worse than pond scum. I don't know how to describe this man, and I can hardly talk because my voice is going because of this call. But
mm-hmm.
you know how I feel and everything. This man is just disgusting.
Yeah, people by now have not changed their minds about Trump. They are not going to. That's the bottom
mm-hmm.
line.
Mm-hmm.
They have a revelation that comes to them in the middle of the night and shoots and just basically goes bing in their head. That's the only way, because I don't see it happening. So,
and like I said, some Democratic brethren out there, whether LGBTQ or a woman or a minority of some type, when you go to the polls, make sure you stay in that line and don't move. Make sure nobody try to intimidate you. And if they bring the guns with you, bring your guns as well, because we're not really taking a crap from any right-wing fascists. It's fire for fire and blood for blood. We're not really taking a goddamn foolishness. You know, and they went down to the Capitol on January 6, 2021 to overthrow
mm-hmm.
the government. They're going to try again, and this time they're going to be more prepared, and this time we're going to be ready for their asses. You know, and Donald Trump... I'm not even going to say it, but kind of take off the air for safe. Donald Trump, your days are numbered. I promise you, you're going to prison. You are
mm-hmm.
going to prison, you son of a bitch. You are not an American. You are a fascist, and you work for Putin and the Kremlin. And we're not going to have it. We're not going to support that bullshit. America is bigger than you. Democracy is bigger than you. And you're not going to... No,
No, we're not going to tolerate that shit.
You know what else? And you know what else it really gets me is that every single state that he goes into, South Carolina, doesn't matter where he is, CPAC, he lied all weekend. And, you know, everywhere that he goes, he lies and lies and lies. And he never faces those consequences. No one ever says, hey, that's not true. They clap for everything. And like you said, David, he did say that. Yes, and he did say that over the weekend.
They're ignorant.
Yeah, he was at,
you know?
I think he was in South Carolina, or he was at, I don't remember if it was South Carolina.
Yeah, South Carolina. He just won a primary there.
Yeah, where
there.
He said.
He made a stupid
speech. Said that the lights were too bright. I heard him say it, where the lights are too bright, and all I see are black people. What in God's name does that mean? What does that mean?
Yeah, he's just being, he's just being funny. He thinks he's being funny by being racist. Nash calling from Atlanta, Georgia. Hello, Nash.
That was a dog
Hello, Nash.
Hello?
That
Hello,
was
Nash. Welcome
whistle.
To the show. Yes,
Hi, Nash. Hi, Nash. Oh, were you on earlier, Nash?
He's laughing.
Are you laughing, Nash? Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yeah, I think this country will kill me eventually, for real. Yeah, the nonsense that's going on from the right, you know, calling themselves Christian, you know. That's not Christian. None of this is Christian.
No.
You know?
It's not. You know, taking a young girl's life is not Christian. That's murder, you know. I mean, it's brutal.
So we don't want that person.
Yes, Nash. So bring some sense to this now. What's up in Atlanta, Georgia? Tell us. I guess Nash don't want to talk. I don't know.
I got
Nash,
a question
are you there?
For you and Lori. Is the State of the Union before or after the shutdown?
Usually, I think it's early March, actually.
Okay, so it'll be before the shutdown.
Yeah. No,
yeah, hopefully.
After?
Got a deadline is March 1st, I'm sure. March 1st is a deadline, so.
What, for the shutdown?
Yes.
Okay, midnight,
so when
March
is the State
1st.
Of the Union?
It's sometime
I don't know.
In March.
The 7th. I think the March 7th is the supposed to be State of the Union.
Well, either way, Joe should speak. I was hoping it would be before.
That would be
That's
nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. They shut it down. Then Joe can go on the air and he can explain how they're trying to tank the economy. That's why they don't want him to speak. Now I connected the dot. That's why they don't want him to speak. They're going to shut the government down, and then they're going to blame Joe Biden. And if Joe Biden gets on the air, he can say, I'm going to connect the dot for you.
Do you guys remember?
They're tanking the economy on purpose.
Do you remember, Elaine and David? Naj, are you there, or are you just laughing at us today?
I'm back on. You told me to call in.
Oh, hi, Susie. You guys remember?
Oh, hey. Elaine, I mean, Susie, welcome back.
Yeah, hi, Susie.
Okay, Lori, what?
Do you guys remember last year, the State of the Union, I think it was last year's, where he got them to basically promise that they would not cut Social Security and Medicare? He caught them like in a, and they were so mad because the way he twisted his words, he got them to agree with him. You guys remember that?
Yeah, that was
well,
he didn't twist words. He told it point blank that he was going to fight them.
Right, but what I'm saying, he got them to agree with him, and I thought it was awesome. And they're probably still mad at that.
Too bad.
You know, I know.
Get over it.
Yeah.
Yes,
so
Senator Mike Lee from Utah. He and a senator from Florida, Skeletor, the thief that the U.S. stole millions of dollars from Medicare, Medicaid. They wanted the sunset program on Medicare, Social Security, you know, and they ran ads in it in the 2022 midterm elections. And when mm-hmm. Biden brought up in the State of the Union, you know, that actually, you know, had a straight face saying, no, we didn't, no, we didn't, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how can how can they live with themselves, you know?
They
such
have
liars.
No soul. They have no soul. They can't look at
doesn't
themselves.
Doesn't make any sense to me. Everybody, Republicans and Democrats at work, pay into Social Security and Medicare. It's our money.
Mm-hmm.
We're entitled to it. So where do they get off mm-hmm. to say that they want to cut it back? Doesn't
well,
make sense.
They start calling it mm-hmm. an entitlement.
Entitlement. No, it's an insurance policy we paid into. We get it back. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It mm-hmm.
started calling it an entitlement back in 1988-89.
Yeah, they started mm-hmm. calling it an entitlement. Slowly but surely, that's what they've been calling it, is an entitlement. You're
mm-hmm.
entitled to. No, it's
oh,
not.
Oh, then they don't get their pensions and their Medicare either, and medical, while they're in office. That's
mm-hmm.
entitlement, and we're paying for it. So let's cut their all their bennies and see
mm-hmm.
how they like it.
Yeah, they're
mm-hmm.
under a federal plan. They're under
mm-hmm.
a federal
plan. And everybody, listen, I want to make a statement. Using Fox News to support your arguments is like saying you're a marine biologist because you watch SpongeBob SquarePants. It's utter bullshit. Fox News
good
is
one.
Not news. Fox News is fake news. Fox News is entertainment, you know? And that's why Canada
not
and
news.
Other nations, they use Fox News
it's
because
propaganda.
Fox News is absolute garbage and propaganda, you know? I wish somebody would just, no, I can't say that. I get cut off the air, but Fox News is just a joke, you know?
They are.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Nonsense,
no
absolute
joke.
Nonsense. I don't know
in
why
the whole
people
world
watch Fox
thinks
News.
Our government is turning into a joke. I hear from my relatives in Europe, what the hell is going on? We're afraid.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Was it Finland just got into the NATO today?
Yes.
Officially.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So one more saved, and they're going to help Ukraine. So we're the only one because of idiots. And their only thing is the border, but they won't even talk about the border. I want to see Biden talk about all the points that they put in the border law, the new one that he came up with there was supposed to be bipartisan. Publicize what's in it and then say, okay, Republicans, what don't you like about it? Because they haven't said what's in it, and it's exactly what they agreed to. So let them eat their words.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think we're going to have a meeting with some of them tomorrow, if I remember right. So it'll be interesting.
Well, Johnson's a waste of time, you know. He's
he's
a porny, pornographic Trumper, you know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Okay,
yeah,
so a CPAC convention is going on. And you noticed that it was hard on the body. You're filling the seats at CPAC.
Yep.
And that's thrilling. That gives him a hope.
Miracle, too. Empty seats.
Mm-hmm,
oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And then the first speakers. He opened up by saying, welcome to the end of democracy. That's how he opened up his speech, whoever the hell he was. I don't know who he was.
Mm-hmm,
and I thought, okay, I've had enough. Click. So,
On
the news programs today, they were saying Trump is getting fewer and fewer votes, and he's getting less and less money. And more
mm-hmm.
Trumpers that are middle of the road or couldn't make up their mind are saying, nah, I don't think I will. So it's eroding.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God. It's now they got to come out. Democrats got to come out with full barrels saying what they've done and what the hell damage the other side's doing to our government and the world.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be plastered everywhere. Because it's not. Unless you watch, you know, the real news, you don't hear any of that.
Yep. So, and speaking of what President Biden has done, especially for canceling student debt, in, let's see, August 14th of 23, the Biden administration begins canceling loan debt for 804,000 borrowers.
borrowers. Biden canceled an additional $9 billion in student loan debt in October 4th of 2023. The Biden administration forgives $37 million in student loan debt for defrauded borrowers. That's in September 20th of 23. Biden canceled $5 billion in student loan debt in the latest relief step in January of 24. And the Biden administration cancels $1.2 billion in student loans with new repayment plan. And this is the Washington Post, Bloomberg, CNBC, ABC, and New York Times. And the last one, like I said, Biden administration cancels $1.2 billion in student loans with new repayment plan, and that's February of 24. So thank you, President Biden. I'm sure that those students are grateful and happy.
Can you explain to me how come the debts got so big for student loans? Who is funding this? Is this big bank charging exorbitant fees on their loans to drive up the cost?
It sounds to me, Susie, I really don't know anything about it, I'll be honest, but some of it almost sounds predatory, like a predator. You know what I'm saying?
Well, the government's got to get in there and get rid of them bastards and maybe charge 1% for a loan for the kids on the government's dime. None of these shysters, you know, that are putting these people in debt for life to go to school. You got to be kidding. Can you imagine what the doctor's loans are? And you wonder why we're short of doctors?
Yes.
Holy crap, you know?
I was explaining a little bit of it. What it is these are young people with no credit. So they would go for a loan to go to school. And since they have no credit for somehow, they got the okay to charge what the hell they want. So a $9,000 loan in 10 years is $50,000.
Oh, the government's got to fix that. What 18-year-old's got credit, for Christ's sake? Nobody.
Well, see, that's how they got around the law to screw these kids who want to get
into the law's got to come out and nail them.
Well, we have, you know what, for over 60 years, we have been led by the Republican Party. If it hasn't been the president, it's been the House and the Senate, or it's been all three. We might have put Democrats in there, but we couldn't get that much done because of the fact we always have to fight with damn Republicans. And that's 60 years.
Instead of paying off the loan,
a hell of a discussion with somebody about that.
They got to put those predators out of business instead of paying back the loans to them.
Well, we've got to change the House and the Senate, and we also got to change our states the same way. We've turned red in too many states. The states go along with this shit, and so do our regular local government. They run nonpartisan, and that's bullshit. They aren't nonpartisan. 99% of the people that run are either a Democrat or a Republican.
And Becca Devos is one of those lending agencies who charge people exorbitant amount of, you know, like interest rates and everything. So she's one of the vultures who we need to get rid of her corporation. You know, so last thing on the thing tonight is Biden and Trump, they went to the border Thursday, and Biden visited the southern border in January 2023 last, and has been heavily criticized by Trump and Republicans for handling of migrants across the United States. So so Biden, according to law enforcement officials and local leaders, the White House said in a statement, quote, Biden will travel to Brownsville, Texas to meet with U.S. border agents, law enforcement, and local leaders. He will discuss the urgent need to pass the Senate bipartisan border security agreements, the toughest and fairest set of reforms to secure the border in decades. He will reiterate his call for congressional Republicans to stop playing politics and to provide the funding needed for additional U.S. Border Patrol agents, more asylum officers, and fentanyl detection technology and more.
So Republicans are fighting against this. And Donald Trump in his campaign in South Carolina was harping on a point that, you know, Mexicans coming across the border illegally and bringing fentanyl. And according to World Health Organization and other sources, it is not Mexicans who are doing it, but U.S. citizens going over to Mexico when they come back, they bring back fentanyl and all. It's U.S. It's American citizens who are doing it. So, you know, mm-hmm. stop destroying the reputation of Mexicans coming across the border, bringing fentanyl. That's not the case.
No. They don't care.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just use them as their, you know.
Well, and the ones coming across the border are stopped at the border and they're frisked and sniffed and all that by dogs. That's ridiculous. I was just watching a mm-hmm. thing about the car people coming in to visit their relatives in cars at the regular border, and they have,
mm-hmm.
you know, their green cards or whatever to visit friends. They check their luggage, they check the car, you know, they're looking for drugs and stuff, you know. They're
yeah.
like ants all over the car that come in. So why would they, if that's how they smuggle them in cars and things, you know, underneath the seats and all that stuff, these poor people carrying their babies and a couple of rags of clothes, why would they bring that in? I mean, doesn't make any sense, right?
No.
No, they
yep,
have them
yep.
in boats, submarines. They come across from Canada. They go up the coast. The drug dealers know how to get the crap in here, not the poor people that
mm-hmm.
are trying to find a job.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it will harm Republicans that voted to impeach Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas, 214 to 213? Will that come back to haunt them?
Mm-hmm.
I hope so.
I hope so, too.
Oh,
I
and
really
the Biden
do.
Bullshit,
mm-hmm.
too. Oh, impeach Biden and his kid. It was all bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knew
mm-hmm.
it. They
mm-hmm.
knew it. And
mm-hmm.
the trouble is they pull this crap and they're not punished for it. For
mm-hmm.
You know
mm-hmm.
how much money they're wasting that they could be using on other things like helping the poor, helping people with medical problems and stuff, instead they're wasting it on this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see the bill. I really would. How many millions has the Republicans wasted on all this crap?
Millions?
Millions, billions probably. And the time they're spent on this bullshit instead of taking
mm-hmm.
care of business. Like, okay, if you don't like the bill for the border, fix it, but do it,
yep.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
No, because,
mm-hmm.
you know, like we've been saying all evening, they do not want President Biden to look good. They know, they all know what a great job he's been doing. And shame on them.
Mm-hmm.
Or not wanting to acknowledge it and not loving the country the way they should be loving this country. Because all
mm-hmm,
of them
mm-hmm.
that were here would not have the lives that they have today if they were not living in this country. And I don't know if they understand
mm-hmm.
that.
And the thing is people are realizing it. They've lost every frickin' election. All the little ones, the big ones, they're losing left and right. So,
yeah.
I mean,
mm-hmm.
what are they doing this for?
Yeah. Well,
political theater, that's all it is. It's disgraceful,
yeah.
you know,
yeah,
making one throw up. Republicans have lost
the
way, and America will wake up in 2024. Yeah, and America will wake up in 2024 and make sure that Republicans will not be elected majority in the Senate nor the House. Because
mm-hmm.
after what they did with Mayorkas, and all that they're doing would not, you know, having a secured board and everything, blaming the President of the United States, they're going to suffer. And women have woken up in this country and said, no, enough is enough. You're trampling on us. LGBTQ people are with women and with minorities. It's going to be a reckoning come November 5th, 2024.
And
yeah,
are
I can't
the
wait for that
and day. The husbands going to back the women too?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the better.
Christ.
If they know what's good for them,
yeah.
if they know what's good for them, they will. They have to.
Well,
all right,
money?
So that's our show for tonight.
Oh, I was going to say,
do I have a quick minute? Do I have a quick
yeah.
minute?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
51. Okay, Michigan residents, put this number down, please. 517 335 7622. That is our Attorney General, Dana Nessel. It is important that anywhere in Michigan, if you're listening, call her up and tell her that Stanley Grott should not be allowed anywhere near elections. He hasn't been tried yet. He is one of them that signed phony affidavits for Donald Trump to become president. He forged affidavits. And he is the clerk, city clerk for the, or county clerk for, I don't know what Shelby is, for Shelby in Shelby, Michigan. Call Dana and tell her that he has to be away from those ballots. He is not to be trusted. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay.
And last thing, the Labor Department says Tennessee farm employed minus clean meat saws and head splitters at slaughterhouse. And, you know, these minors should be in school, not working for minimum wage or less. And children as young as 13 years old clean dangerous equipment on overnight shifts, according to the temporary restraining order filed in federal court Wednesday. So the Labor Department said that Tennessee-based Lafayette Janitorial LLC illegally employed 15 children to clean Purdue Farms poultry plant in Virginia and 9 to clean a Seaboard Tram Foods pork processing plant in Iowa. They cleaned such equipment as head splitters and meat bandsaw. So, you know, Fayette has 600 employees in 30 states, according to the company's website. And a great majority of them are kids 13 years or younger. So that's not right.
Yep.
You know, the labor laws should be tightened and not loosened. We see in Arkansas, we see it in Indiana and all those Bible Belt states that they're employing minors to do these heavy-duty work and cleaning these saws and machines that, you know, are dangerous. They should be in school learning.
They're probably migrant kids, too, so they don't say anything.
Probably.
And they need the money.
Yep.
Yeah, so
they
hopefully
are my,
they'll pattern.
One of the kids lost his arm.
Yep. We'll talk more about that on Thursday because I think that that needs to be talked about a little in more depth. It's an important issue. Children 13 years old should not be working in that sort of an environment at whatsoever.
Roosevelt made the law against that, for Christ's sake. We're going back to the old days?
Yep.
Yes. All right, ladies, thank you so much for calling in.
Have a good night.
In California for calling
good
in.
Night,
Susan and Elaine for calling in. And we're going to be again on here again next, this Thursday coming up, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain. And if you're LGBTQ and want to come out, the national hotline for LGBTQ is 888-843-4564. I want to congratulate Liverpool Football Club for winning the Caribou Cup today. They played Chelsea United Football Club, and it was a great game. We're at the Craft Room. It was an enjoyable match, and Liverpool came out on top. So for all those people out there who have given up hope, I want to play this song for you, You'll Never Walk Alone by Jerry and the Pacemakers, to give you a little hope. Until Thursday again, same time, same place. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, David. This is Lori Pickup from Michigan, and we'll see you Thursday. Bye now.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver sound of love. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, for your dreams beside us and blow.
Days ago, but this is the side they should exploit. The Sergio Roberto.
Memories of Rome, a Yukari Amano who's capitalized on the mistake. Here's Henderson. He's away!
He looked all right, didn't he? See if he gets the ball, Fletch.
To pull back towards Messi, what to say? Had to make it, Alisson.
Yeah, James Milner tried his best. Knew where Messi was going.
Now he's in. He tees up Messi. Here's Coutinho and Alisson. Suarez keeps it alive, Sergio Roberto, Coutinho to Alba, and then in, it's Messi, hits it hard, low and true.
Yeah, again, that's Shaqiri on left back, Henderson's in there to win it, referee gives a free kick to Barcelona. Suarez, England, Milner.
Oh, PK got the block on it.
I don't know where that was going on target, but I guess a good block in it, PK.
Robertson! Straight by Ter Stegen.
Nice hit from him, wasn't it? Really nice hit.
Speaking, Henderson. Free touch. On the left foot, deflected.
Handball, I say, handball.
For the corner. The National.
Oh, he's coming back.
Ricocheting around it, spotted the ball that was on its way to Divock Origi when he's been fouled. I'm not think it's a good touch. An even better tackle behind him by Sir. Completely played by Mane.
Very deep from him.
And he's on his way to the middle, so it's wide. Now then! Oh, it's in! Off the bench, he scores! We'll get a second goal. Why now? Oh, it's a three! Liverpool are all the way back! Champions League hero!
Anderson. The Stagan was there to claim it. After half ball against Vidal, and the referee to show the yellow to Nelson Semedo. He's been here since he was six, and he spotted that! Alexander Arnold, that's a corner. The three.
Yeah, you said it's played as far.
Five to the next, Lapinio. Powder goes, free kick, Liverpool will take it. With the decision greeted like a goal.
It always happens. It is whether they were going to get the balls.
Thank you.